as you find me, all my fears and failure.
I'm going to be talking, we just finished a series going through our values, okay? So last week was on the value, on excellence and integrity. I heard a lot of good, you know, sometimes I finish a message and I think, well, you know, it was okay. I wasn't sure where it came out on and all that. Heard a lot of good comments last week that it just really challenged you. So if you missed it, I would encourage you to just go, you can go to YouTube and look up Radiant Springs Church. It's there. Go to our Facebook as well. But I encourage you to do that. If you missed some of those, and you can see just all the messages, we just talk about our values, whether it's reconciliation or God's word is powerful or the importance of prayer. So just families, healthy families. So those are some of our values, and we took time just to deal with those. Today we're going to talk about the issue of abortion. It's been several years since I've talked about that. Talking about that just because it's been in the news a lot, all right, for various reasons. One is, I guess the elections are coming up. I guess those are less than 2 weeks, 2 weeks away? 1 week away, aren't they? Basically almost 1 week away, coming up a week from Tuesday, right? All right, so elections, that abortion is kind of always comes up there. You have the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, so it's come up there. I love the signs around town. How many have noticed the signs around town that the Catholics have been putting up, right? And it says, human from day one. So, and you can actually go to a website. We're actually going to show a short video that they have that's just a real quick video. If you're watching online, you're going to have to probably just go search it for yourself. We're not going to put it up on the screen, but you'll hear it. It's just great because it shows a picture of you on day one. Isn't that cool? And so I kind of like it. I've appreciated that. Even at Pumpkin Days, the Catholics were out there. They had their pro-life signs, and I just encouraged them in that, that they were willing to make their voice known. So one of the things, and even just in the news, so this is kind of the headline that was in just a very popular newspaper that was also then made it out to Facebook and other outlets. But maybe the younger people would know this, and maybe some of the older people. But if I say Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, you know who they are, right? But they were in the news because why? Why? They lost a baby. Yeah. That was September 30th. They lost a child. And so they were about 20 weeks along, so about halfway along, and so this is what the headline said, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend lose baby after pregnancy complications. It sounds like the placenta separated, there was bleeding, and so they lost their baby boy. So what I found interesting about that headline is that this 20-week-old, so about halfway through the pregnancy process, it is referred to by the media as a baby. But often when it comes to abortion, the unborn child is called a fetus. And I just find the selective use of terms, depending on the context, to be interesting. It's a very sad story. They were crushed. The truth is, many couples experience at least one miscarriage. Not every couple does, but it's fairly common, more common than sometimes people realize that it does happen. You know, there's a lot of social injustices in the world, and there's been a lot of emphasis upon that this past year, right? Do we throw abortion into that category? Those that don't have a voice. Those that don't have a voice and life being decided for them. Abortion is a political issue, but I don't know if it should be. Should it be? Isn't life a human right? I would argue that it is. So abortions can happen early on in pregnancy. There would be some statistics that would show most of them happen in those early couple weeks, months. But there's some states that I still believe still offer late-term abortions up to the birth of the child, and I just can't fathom that. President Trump was going to sign an executive order, I believe he did, that prohibits a baby to die that is born from a failed abortion. So in other words, probably a late-term abortion, the baby's born, the abortion fails, and so he signed the executive order so that this child would not be left to die, but it would be given life-saving help to survive. I even struggle why that is even an issue in our culture, in our nation, with all the technology, with the nation that we are, for the dignity of life. I find that hard to believe. So what are some statistics? In 1990, these are taken off of government national websites. In 1990, 1.6 million abortions occurred, okay, at different stages. That was rolled back to 1 million in 2011. In 2014, we're down to 962,000. That's still a lot of lives, folks, isn't it? 2017, 862,000. And then it's hard to get more recent statistics because they're too recent, I guess. But in 2018, this is bringing it a little more home to Nebraska, okay? And Nebraska just passed some pretty good abortion legislation within the last year or two, if I'm not mistaken. A good friend of mine, Al Roskowski, was part of that. Nebraska Family Alliance is very involved in some of that. Just being in the legislature, promoting life issues and the well-being of the family. But this is from Nebraska. So in Nebraska in 2018, 2,078 abortions occurred in our state. 2,078. 58% of the women were between ages 20 to 29. So I found that a little ironic, or I was expecting it to be the larger below 20, okay, honestly. But 58% fell between that 20 and 29 category. And then it goes into why the women were choosing to do abortion. Two, involved incest. You know, that's a terrible thing, right? But two of the abortions involved that. 21 were fetal anomalies. So there was something probably in the ultrasound, and they said, hey, this child has some defects. We advise that you abort the child. And you hear that come up quite a bit, okay? And then the mom is left, or the parents are left, with the decision or choice, do we keep this child or do we choose an abortion? You know, before technology and before ultrasounds, you just had the child, right? And lived with the consequences. But 21 were for fetal anatomy. I think the difficult thing about that is that you have women that are told, or parents that are told, hey, there is something wrong with this child, we recommend that you abort the child, only they say, hey, no, we're going to see this through. They have the child, and there is no birth defect. You know, what if they would have, you know? And so that is always the danger with them. 18 of the abortions had to deal with the life endangerment of the mom. And that is a real struggle. That becomes one of those gray areas. I remember when I was in seminary working on my master's, that was one of my ethics essay questions. It was in the final exam. Mom, pregnant, and if they keep the child, she's going to lose her life. What do you do? Do you go for the abortion? Do you take your chances? What do you do? Whose life is more important? Wow, those aren't easy questions to answer, folks. So I went with the life of the mother is more important. Okay, I think there are some things that where you have to weigh those things out. A mom maybe also has other kids and other things, so you have to weigh all those things out. There's no easy choice or decision there, is there? 18 abortions had to do with sexual assault, rape, so that's definitely not good. But does that mean in those situations that you abort the child because it was a result of sin? Is that life still not important? I understand the tragicness of rape and assault, but those are things that are difficult to weigh through. But even if you go through all that, only 2% of the abortions in Nebraska in 18, only 2% dealt with incest, rape, or the life of the mother. The rest were done because of failed contraception, no contraception, those other things. To me, that is the area that as the church, there's an opportunity to want to talk about the value of life, but to be there for people when they're going through those difficult decisions. All right? And as a guy, I've never been through that. We never were put in that place where we were told, hey, there's something wrong with your child. We were never put in that place. But we know that there are women that go through a difficult decision, and it's not always black and white. So we're going to talk more about that later. All right, just a little history. The term abortion is never used in Scripture. Okay, you're not going to find it anywhere in Scripture. All right? There is evidence of chemically induced abortions dating back to 1500 BC. All right? So way back in time. In the 11th century, the Middle Assyrian laws dating back to the 11th century BC saw abortion as a crime punishable by death. Do you want to know how they killed the lady? Do you want to know this? I don't know if you want to know this. She was impaled on a post and not given a proper death or burial. Pretty tragic. So they definitely took a strong view, and I don't think we want to go there, right? They definitely had this view of abortion that was not tolerated, all right? Now, the Romans saw abortion as legal, but very few of them happened and took place because they valued this life. They valued the life of a child. It was very valuable to them. So even though it was legal, it was not desired. So what does Scripture have to say on this subject of abortion? So that's where we want to go this morning. So let's go to Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. And before we do, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks life into us. It guides us. It helps us in the steps that we take. And even on a difficult topic that our nation wrestles with, between the life of a child, unborn child, life of the mother sometimes, it's wrestling with us, Lord God. I believe that you can speak to us. And we just ask for your insight. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. This is a psalm of David. And in this psalm, he just gives forth some detail about life and life before we are brought into this world. He says in verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book, even before one came to be." So we see in this passage, David is talking about, you know what, before I was born, you had plans, you had a purpose for my life. I was fearfully and wonderfully made in that secret place. Within the womb, where I grew and matured until I was born. So we just have a brief video, and if you're watching online, you're probably not going to get to see it, but I will provide a link. If you go human from day one, you can find that after the message, and you can pull that up. You'll probably be able to hear that. So let's run that, Chris, when you're ready.
I am human, and I was created.
So that's soy day humano, 2000. If we creado.
I am human, and I was created.
I am human. I was created.
I am human, and I was created.
I am human, and I was created.
We believe these truths to be self-evident, that all humans are created equal.
All right. So that is, that last picture is the one that's on the signs that you'll see and the yard signs. What are some, this is from the same website. They just talk about the science a little bit. Days 1 through 3, DNA is created and cells begin to multiply. Okay, after the sperm meets the egg, these cells begin to multiply and DNA is formed. Days 14 through 13, a woman probably doesn't even know she's pregnant at this time, but the embryo travels down the fallopian tube and is implanted into the mother's womb. Some women even feel that. I don't know if you know that or not. Days 14 through 28, eyes appear, and openings for the ears are in place. The heart begins beating, lungs, stomach, pancreas, intestinal loop, bladder, small ridges for the arms and legs appear. That is Adam 1 month old, folks. Most abortions happen, I think, between 4 and 8 weeks. After all this has happened. Days 29 through 56, so now you're going from 1 to 2 months, The unborn child's the size of a cherry, all right? Brain activity is now detectable. Muscles, 99% of the muscles are present. The body's, the baby's blood is now separate from the mother's, and their face is formed at the end of 2 months. Days 57 through 91, the baby is the size of an apple. Begins spontaneous movements, practices breathing, facial expressions. There's actually fine hairs that can be seen on their face. They can swallow, and they can even feel and respond to skin stimulation. So now, you know, some abortions have been limited to a certain time frame because they've determined that a child, unborn child, can feel pain at a certain place. So there's some reasoning there. All right. Days 92 through 105, arms and legs begin to bulk up. All right, they're hitting the gym. All right. All right. Days 106 to 147, the ears are completely formed. They're distinguished between their, they can distinguish between voices, you know. So, you know, if you're playing rap music or instrumental music or I don't know what kind of music you listen to when you're pregnant, but worship music, they can distinguish between probably mom and dad's voice and the different things. Days 148 to 182, eyelids are formed and baby starts blinking. A female baby will have, this is what is amazing, folks. A female baby at days 148 through 182 will have all of her eggs by this point. Before she's even born, I thought that happened somewhere in adolescence or something like that. Before a baby girl is even born at this early stage, 7 million eggs. They have to be small. By the time that a young girl, age 12, you know, hitting that first cycle and things like that, they will have about 500,000 eggs. But all those eggs are previously present before their child is even born. That's just cool. Days 183 through 196, eyelashes, eyebrows are formed. Mom can feel baby moving. I don't know, maybe some women have felt that happen before that. Eye pigment is formed between days 197 to 224, and then 225 to 280, getting at the home stretch here. Bones are formed, and a baby has reflexes, and is ready to come into the world. So what is our first point here? It's in your program. And Olivia, if you can pull up the lights there just a little bit. The first thing that we see is that we, each of us, is fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as you go through the science, as I was reading it, some of these statistics, it's kind of like, man, there's tears coming to my eyes. Just kind of like, man, just the beauty of human life, you know. And if you're a grandparent, I've had grandparents, and I'm looking at some of them, and, you know, they come in and they show me the picture on their phone, and it's their child is having their first baby, and so they got the image of the ultrasound there, right, you know. Or if maybe that's your first child or second child, you have that image, and you see the beauty of it. And because of modern technology, we see the vivid detail even more so each and every day of the beauty and what is taking place within the womb. We see that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and Scripture pulls that out, that just the marvel of how we are created and we come to be. And so the womb is a beautiful place and is where we grow, we develop, and we see from Scripture that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So what else does Scripture have to say? Let's go to Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 24. And this verse is this is important because it helps us determine the value of an unborn child within the view of Scripture. All right? Exodus 21, 22 through 24. It says, if people are fighting, and somewhere in the process, they hit a pregnant woman, whether she is part of the argument or just a bystander, but this pregnant woman is hit, and she gives birth to her child prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must pay a fine, whatever the husband demands and the court allows. Okay, so there's a penalty, a fine, if the child is unhurt, even though it's born early. But if there's serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. So So in other words, if there is this argument, the woman is injured and she gives birth prematurely, the baby dies, the offender is to lose their life as well. So what is Scripture saying there? It is saying that the life of the unborn child has the same value, the same right as an adult human being. The value of the unborn child. And I think that is insightful for us because it helps us to understand what is the value of an unborn child. What we don't know, what science doesn't will never tell us, and what Scripture doesn't reveal to us is when does that embryo become a soul? When does the Spirit of God enter into that child? We know that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit when he's in his mom's womb, right? And Elizabeth prophesies over Mary. He takes a jump, victory lap there. Woohoo! Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. So he jumps in his mother's womb. We don't know, though, when that embryo becomes a soul. Is it at the moment of conception? We don't know. We don't know. Abortions can take place, you know, even former uses contraception like an IUD allowed for conception, but it didn't allow for the embryo to implant into the mother's womb. Technically, that would be considered abortion, right? So there's a lot of ethical things that a person has to weigh out in all that. But what we see from Scripture is that the value of an unborn child. So the second principle is the unborn are considered to be human beings. And if they are human beings, then they have the rights of an adult. They have the rights of a born child, of a human being. And that's what those videos, Human from Day One, talks about, that if they are human from day one, even though they're in their mother's womb, don't they have the rights of a normal, regular human being? All right? Regardless of the laws of the land, we must know that the unborn child is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that Scripture sees an unborn child with rights that are equal to any individual. So, if we don't believe in abortion, and if it's legal in our land, what should we do? Point number three. And I was reading through just my devotional time in Proverbs, I think it was back in the summer, and I came across a couple passages that I thought, you know what, this it talks about different things, but it does talk about abortion, I feel. And so it's Proverbs chapter 24, 10 through 12. And it says, if you falter in the time of trouble, how small is your strength? Verse 11. A little more context. Rescue those who are being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards the slaughter. Now, this is talking about those that maybe were going to be devastated by an enemy takeover, okay? Or those that were going to be slaughtered in that kind of context. And we know throughout history that has happened multiple times. And we even know that in the situation of the Holocaust, that definitely happened. And Christians were put in that place of what to do, and too many of them were silent in Germany and other places, and others did what they could. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer put his life on the line. It would cost him his life because he took a stance to protect, to fight against Hitler and what he was doing. And it was interesting, our oldest son graduated from UNO with his master's this spring, and it was one of those online graduation ceremonies. But the guest speaker was Jewish in background. And he shared his story how his mom and his life were spared during that Holocaust. They were saved through that because of a Christian family that brought them in and hid them. And I thought, what? I mean, and he was talking about the faith and the integrity of Christians. And I was like, wow, this is cool, you know? And here he was the graduation speaker at UNO, and it was just really cool. But they did their part. Even though they didn't vocally, they took people in and spared the lives of those that were destined to be slaughtered and killed. You know, does this apply to abortion? I think in a lot of ways it does. And verse 12 says, but if we say we know nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? In other words, if we kind of say, oh God, we plead ignorance, right? We can't. I just gave you the numbers of what is happening in our nation and in our state. We can't plead ignorance. just because it happens in a hospital room someplace, and we can't plead ignorance. Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay anyone according to what they have done? I believe this can apply to a lot of atrocities. It can apply to the genocides that have taken place in Africa, where certain tribes have been wiped out because they were at war with each other. Or religious infighting in some countries where certain religious group has wiped out another group. But I believe it also can apply to the unborn. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says, "Speak up for those that cannot speak up for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." So this definitely is talking about social injustice, poor and needy. But what about the unborn that don't have a voice? You hear me? Who's going to speak up for them? Who's going to plead their case? So the third point is plead the cause of those with no voice. I want to just conclude with a few tangible ways. What can we do? Well, I think we can pray for change in our land. I believe there are things that are shifting. I think in the different political parties, I sense movement in both parties. But you know, change can't always be legislative. And I think that is one of the arguments for abortion, is that if you make it illegal, people are still going to get it done, and they're going to get it done in not the best ways. And the life of the mother is then hurt. I don't think you can totally disregard that, because there's probably some truth to that. I'm going to talk a little more about that. But you can vote. I mean, a lot of us, when we go to the, maybe some of you already voted, okay? And we probably know where the presidential candidates stand on the issue. But how many know where, you know, you got these court appointees, you know, even at the lower levels here in Nebraska? Do you know where they stand on some of these issues? Yeah. And so you can go to an organization like Nebraska Family Alliance, and maybe they can shed some light on how they feel about some of those things. Do your homework. Some of our state senators and representatives know where they stand, even our local officials. Do your homework. Find out where they stand on some of those. All right. Number three, ministers to those with unplanned pregnancies. As I mentioned, most of the abortions in Nebraska in 2018 were unplanned. All right. Maybe they were a young lady, okay? She got pregnant, wasn't planning for it. Maybe it was the couple that they thought they were done having kids, and all of a sudden they get pregnant, and it just messes up their plans. We're just being honest here, folks. Very few have to do with incest, rape, or life of the mother. But what are we doing to minister to people that are caught in those situations to give them hope, assistance, and encouragement? I talked with a lady this week that was in that place, was in a very difficult, young lady at that time, got pregnant, had to make a difficult decision. She ended up choosing life and put her baby up for adoption. But it was not a difficult, I mean, it was a very difficult decision for her, because she maybe didn't have the support that would have really been helpful at that time. I remember, this is early on in ministry, our first pastorate, 2 to 3 years into it, and I get a knock on the door, and it was in wintertime. Okay, I know that because the guy, I still remember his parka, and he had the fur around it, and he came to our front door, and he has tears in his eyes, and he goes, I think she was 16, right? 15. And he goes, "My daughter's pregnant." And he was just devastated. He was devastated. And so we came alongside that family, and we got them, and we did some homework. We found an organization that worked with young moms in that place. They provided her counseling and other things just to help her through that process. And, you know, if they wanted to put the baby up for adoption, they would help with that. Or that, you know, if they decided they want to keep the child, they would help provide assistance there too. She ended up keeping the child. Cool thing, after I was thinking about all this, the child that she ended up having got married, and she had her own first child, I believe, last week. Isn't that kind of cool? Saw that on Facebook. If we can be there with people and extend grace and love and hope to people in that circumstance, I think that can help. I think if we just come with the law and this is what Scripture has to say and we beat people up, I don't think that helps people out, folks. All right? I think we can get involved in legislative things, whether it's in our state or in our national, to help promote change, adoption opportunities. I think there's a lot more that could be done with adoptions. There's waiting lists, folks, for people that want to adopt a child. And that's the ironic thing, is that we're having abortions when there's people that want to have a child. I think we can be a rational voice to those that are undecided. Each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. The unborn are considered human beings. And we must plead the cause of those with no voice. You know, also just in the media this summer was a famous person. Kanye West. How many know Kanye West? You've heard of Kanye West. Rapper. I think he grew up in the church. I think his music probably did not reflect that through much of his career, and we made a lot of money. All right. He was a guest of President Trump at some point here in the last year or two. And he even put his name in the hat, the ring for presidential to run. But what he revealed this summer in July when he was speaking to people is that his oldest daughter, North, is her name, that when he's married to Kim Kardashian, you maybe know her name more than you do his name, but they're pregnant with her, and because of his busy schedule, he really encouraged Kim to get an abortion. And she fought for that decision not to, and so they gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. She's about 8 or 9 years old now. And what he also revealed in that same thing is that when his parents were pregnant with him, that the dad was really busy and there was a lot happening, and he put pressure upon his mom to abort him. But his mom prevailed and gave birth to him. You know, and now when we talk about abortion, sometimes it seems black and white, but sometimes if you're not a woman, put in that place where maybe you're being pressured by a boyfriend or a husband that it doesn't work with things, or born into poverty or a difficult circumstance, you don't have the family to surround you and help you through this. It's not as easy a decision as one would like it to make it out to be. And that's where I think as the church, there's a huge opportunity to be the church, to show compassion, love, and grace. I think the pro-choice people value the life of the mother. Pro-life people value the life of the child. What do you think God values? Both? I think he values both. And to me, that is where the solution is found for the church. If we can value and lift up both, show dignity and grace for both, I think there's an opportunity for the church to show the love of God to a world. Amen? And I think there takes some wisdom there. I think that's where we've talked about leading with love. If you lead, Jesus came with grace and truth. If you just lead with that truth, if you just lead with the law, folks, sometimes it doesn't get the love. They miss the point of love. People that are pro-life, they see the child, right? But sometimes if all you see is the law, then you lose sight of that. I'm going to have the musicians come. We have to lead with love and compassion, offering hope in life. And amen. And I'm very aware that there's maybe people here, people watching online, or maybe they'll watch the message later. Maybe you had an abortion. Yeah. You know, there's grace. There's healing. I think statistics would show most women regret that. Even Amy saw a post on Facebook of one lady from our community that had to abort her child because her life was at stake. She regrets that decision. In the fact, she wished she didn't have to be put in that place, but it was her life or the child's. You know, what do you do? Those aren't easy decisions. But I'm very well aware that there might be somebody here, and I just want you to know that there's grace, love, and compassion. And maybe you're in that spot. I don't know. All I know is, and I believe, I, you know, Trust God in this, is what I would say. If you're pregnant, I think even in the case of incest and rape, even to put the child up for adoption, because it's not the child that did wrong, right? Others did wrong, but those are difficult things that we need God's grace, love, and compassion to show to our world and be there for people when God opens up the door to minister. Would you stand this morning? While we're talking about adoption, what does God say? Paul says that he was so thankful that he was a Jew, but he's speaking to the Gentiles, and he said, you've been grafted in, you've been adopted. That's one of his strong messages, Paul. You've been adopted. You've been brought into the plan of God, and he's made you his own with all the rights. Isn't that the cool thing about adoption, is that even though you don't belong, you weren't the DNA of that mom or dad, you're brought in, you have all the rights as their child. Isn't that cool? And if you don't know God as your Lord and your Savior this morning, he's adopting you. He wants you to be his child. Amen? So I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. If that's you, I encourage you to pray with me. And then that God can also just give us wisdom in our nation, to our leaders and to those in government. And if we have a voice, that God would place us in pivotal, timely moments where we can offer hope and grace and to people maybe that are stuck in a difficult situation. They don't know what to do, and they just need a clear head. They need somebody to surround them with some strength and some love, some hope. So let's look to the Lord in prayer, and just a prayer of salvation, saying, God, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all that I've done wrong. Come in and be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. In your name we pray. I believe if you meant that with all your heart, God hears that and begins that relationship of walking with him. And Lord, I also pray, dear God, that you would just, you see each unborn child that isn't given breath, that isn't given life into this world. You see that all. And Lord God, as the people of God, I pray that you grant us wisdom as to what we can do. Forgive us for not maybe being a voice. Forgive us for not making that a matter of prayer. Forgive us for not being there for people. Maybe forgive us even for judging people that have walked through that and maybe haven't made the choice that we would agree with instead of being there for them. Lord God, I pray that you would grant us your Holy Spirit. You've placed your Holy Spirit within us to be salt and light in our world, to be there for people. And Lord God, I pray that you can help us be salt and light in our world and make a difference in our world. In a very difficult thing within our nation and in our world. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask in your name. Amen. They're going to close us with a closing chorus. Would you join in and sing that today? And maybe even within the context of what we're talking about today. Lord, this morning hear the voice of the unborn, Lord. And Lord God, as your heart breaks, I pray you'd break our heart. And Lord, give us ways that we can let their voice be known. And not only for the unborn, but for moms that go through those difficult times, Lord God, that place us in those divine moments where we can be the church, that we can be involved in our communities, that we can be involved in the lives of people around us, that we can be that person of hope when they need it most, Lord God. You've called us to be in the world, but not of it. And so, Lord God, give us those opportunities. Let us be the love of Christ to the world around us. We give you the thanks and the praise. We ask it in your name. Amen. Hey, good to have you here today. So, encounter service.